Father, it's not a coincidence that you brought us here this morning. Father, it's not a coincidence, Lord, that you've given us your word this morning. A word, Father, that our ears and our hearts need to hear. Father, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be humbled. Father, we want to receive your words into our hearts and our minds this morning. You have a message for us. So, Father, we come and we meet you here with our arms, our hearts open, and our ears ready to listen. Come bless us. Amen. I'd love for you to turn with me to John 21, starting in verse 1. I found it quite unique that probably over a month ago, I read this passage, and something that I never really observed or paid attention to before jumped out at me. And God led for me to say, hey, preach that someday. So we are here this morning to hear from God. So John 21. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out fishing, Simon Peter told them. And they said, well, we'll go with you. So they went out, got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the other side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Whoops. Have you ever seen something restored before? I had the really great opportunity to observe over a period of time some pretty amazing work by my neighbor. He had taken some of the most beat up, most awful looking wood and made it into the most incredible, most amazing piece of furniture that you'd ever seen. You wouldn't even actually recognize that it was the same wood. The wood that he was using, basically we would use for firewood. We'd cut it up, toss it in the fire, and that's what it's used for. He took that same firewood, made a piece of furniture, and sold it for $1,000. It was pretty incredible. If that's what can be done with lifeless wood, how much more can people be restored and given a life of value? Like my neighbor, God is in the business of restoration. He takes people that seems worthless, people that are broken by the weight of their sin, by their shame, and he transforms us into works of just a beautiful life and being useful. This reminds me of Peter. And I've been walking through 1st and 2nd Peter over the last month, and I've seen something pretty amazing, that Peter's story, it's real. And it's personal. Peter's story is about you and I. Peter's us. So I've taken Peter's story, as personal as it was, and I looked through the Gospels. And I found where Jesus was connecting with Peter. His story involves being called by Christ, taking a risk, opening up his big mouth, pride, rich and privileged. He has fumbles and stumbles. He denies Christ, and he's restored. Peter's story is our story. It's the story of grace, of love, of forgiveness, and restoration. Let's take a moment and quickly look at the synopsis of Peter's story in the Gospels. Jesus called Peter. In John 1, after Andrew tells Simon that they found the Messiah, Jesus sees Peter, and he names him Peter, which means rock. Simon Peter is called again to become a fisher of men. Peter stepped out and he took a risk in his life. He walked on water. Peter went out to the mountain and experienced the most amazing thing with Jesus and his transfiguration. So rich and privileged to be able to experience that. Peter also had a mouth. A big one that worked for Jesus, but also worked against him. At one moment, he's saying that we found the Christ. He's the Messiah, the one that we've been waiting for. But of course, in the same breath, Peter steps in front and tells Jesus, no, you can't die. And Jesus tells him, get behind me, Satan. Peter also believed that he was more than that. That he was more committed than all the other disciples. He says, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. But Peter was blind to his own pride and self-confidence. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter's big mouth opened again. Peter denied knowing Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. Then Jesus comes and visits Peter, giving a second chance and restores him. Doesn't this sound like our life? It sounds like mine. Jesus called me to follow him. I took a risk many times in my walk with him. I got out of the boat a few times in my journey. I experienced incredible moments with Jesus. But I also opened up my big mouth. At times, I spoke for him proudly, praising him. And then also at times, I didn't. I even denied him. And I've been restored. I had a moment when I was in high school, and I had missed a test because of a field trip that we had gone on. And it just so happened that, of course, when it comes to exams, I go blank. I kind of get freaked out, whatever, and it's like, whoosh, all that I had studied was gone. So, of course, some of my friends, yeah, they were really cool and helped me out, say, hey, this is what the exam's on. You know, this, whatever, you can talk about this, whatever. I'm like, okay, fantastic. So, okay, I'll just make a little sheet, whatever, with some good points, whatever, to help me recall. Of course, then I just happened to take that sheet with me and slide it between my legs on my chair and happened to periodically peek down on it and, did quite well on the exam. However, I was an average student in high school, 65, 75, round in there. And my history teacher comes to me after lunch and says, hey, Steve, this is Can we chat? Yeah, sure. He says, is there anything you want to tell me?
Nope.
He says, are you sure?
Yep.
He says, so things are all good? I'm like, yeah. He says, okay. All right. And he shows me that I got 85% on my exam, and I'm like, oh, awesome. Right. And we'll come back to that story in a moment. But I'd like to focus here, as I tell you that story, on a moment in Peter's life. Right. As I share that moment in my life, Peter's story is important to us all. It's the moment on where Jesus meets Peter again on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. But before we jump into that moment, let's look at what led up to that very moment. Have you ever had a moment and where you've denied Christ and did your own thing to protect your own hide? It was after that moment that your relationship with Christ didn't seem to be the same. After I had committed that lie and that cheat, my life with Christ was no longer the same. It was broken. After Peter's denial, something changed. Something died within him. It was a moment for Peter, a turning point, that Peter's own self-confidence and his strength were killed. He knew he was no longer the rock in which his name stood for. His failure as a believer, he left and he ran and he wept because he realized what and who he was, a sinner. A sinner needing forgiveness. Have you ever been there? Where you've denied Christ? At that moment, everything about Peter, his brokenness, his failure as a believer, he entered into a moment that his very being depended on Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. And yet that relationship that was broken needed to be mended. Jesus was taken away and killed. That's why Peter ran, didn't walk, but he ran to the tomb that Easter morning to know and to see. To see that Christ was actually risen from the dead, as he said. If he was, then maybe he would be renewed. If he was, then maybe he'd be forgiven. All of us had failed, just like Peter. We all know too well when we've dropped the ball in our lives. We run and we hide, just like Peter did. He ran from the crowd when he was arrested. He denied him. He didn't even speak his name when he denied Christ three times. Not even acknowledging him that he was his friend or his master. We all have these moments of speaking up for him or denying him or walking away with him, walking away from him in our lives. This is where the beginning of that moment in Peter's story begins, where he's broken and he's a complete failure and he comes to be restored. It starts when the message comes to the disciples that they were to go to the Sea of Galilee and wait for Jesus there. So Peter and the other disciples went. Jesus wasn't there to meet them at the moment that they arrived. They waited and they waited. Peter either gets bored, he gets tired of waiting, or maybe begins to wonder, is Jesus actually going to come back and forgive me? So Peter says, I'm going fishing. Anyone want to come with? Yep, I'm in. So he returns to his old ways, to something that he trusted, that he knew. As he fished, I believe that his failures, which happen to all of us, loom over him. The denial of Jesus plagued him. He couldn't run away from what he had done. He couldn't shake the thought of what he did. Have you ever been there in that state where your failures loom over you? They plague you and you can't be shaken from them. Did you lie? Did you cheat? Gossip? Maybe God isn't first in your life and you're living for yourself. Can we blame Peter for feeling this way? Do you feel this way? They go fishing, and they catch nothing. So not only is he a failure as a disciple, he's a failure as a fisherman. Are you starting to fit into the story? Are you starting to see the picture of Peter's journey? Peter must have felt awful all over again. Is nothing ever going to go right his way? How can he actually even continue to live as a believer, knowing what he had done? There's some teachable moments here that Peter allows us to experience in his story. The first one is where Peter stays faithful. Peter could have ran and hid, but he didn't. He doesn't walk away. He goes to the Sea of Galilee where he's told to go to meet Jesus. How could someone do that? Knowing that he with such shame and disgust in what he just committed. We've all failed and we've fallen. But Jesus came to Peter just as he will come to us personally. He will come to us because he desires to forgive us and to restore us just as he came to Peter. The Lord doesn't wait for us to clean up our act. There's nothing that you can do. There's not enough money that you can give to make yourself right before God. Instead, Jesus is the one. He's the one that comes to meet us where we are and begin the process of change. In the midst of our brokenness and failures, we feel that shame and that disgust as Peter did. But you have to believe. Suddenly a voice calls out from the shore. Looking up from their empty fishing boat, the man calls, "Friends, have you caught any fish? Throw your net on the other side and you will find some." Peter's heard this voice before. Didn't this voice sound like the same voice, the same instruction that he had 3 years ago when he was fishing? He picks up the net and tosses it over to the other side. And what a catch. So much that they can't haul the net in. That's when John figures it out. It's the Lord. That's all that Peter needed to know. Peter knew right away, and he jumps out of the boat and swims as fast as he can. The excitement, the joy, the passion, the intensity that Peter has. His heart is so captivated by Jesus, he plunges into the water. Peter was a failure, but Jesus came to him personally and gave him the opportunity to be restored because he was faithful. He was there to meet with Jesus. And it was that moment that Peter again gives us a teachable moment. Peter didn't stay in the boat. He rushed to Jesus. He didn't hesitate. Do we do the same in our own lives? When we've stumbled or fallen or sinned, do we rush to Jesus or do we hesitate? He wasn't going to make the same mistake twice. He doesn't wait for the boat to turn about and begin to come into shore. He throws his clothes on and he jumps overboard and swims 100 yards. Okay? Now I'm 100 pounds. Okay. Okay, I'm 200 pounds. I'm 200 pounds, all right, of pure cement. I do not float. For me to swim 100 yards a football field, all right, I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. I'm not a fish like Kristen. But not that, okay? Even if I was to swim with my clothes on, okay? Our clothes are now light, airy, sleek, well-fitted. In Peter's time, they had wraps and wraps of clothing. And here they're jumping over, he's jumping over the boat and swimming 100 yards with all of this material on him. The passion, the joy that he had to be able to meet with Jesus. He doesn't wait for the boat. He didn't hesitate. Have you ever hesitated? Have you ever waited in the midst of your brokenness to share with someone because you're afraid of what they're going to think? Have you ever shied away from God? Do you stay away from church because you're ashamed of your failures? Well, I'm sorry to tell you, God already knows. Peter needed Jesus to graciously reach out to him. Peter needed Jesus to forgive him, to make him new again and again and again. Will we humble ourselves? Will we rush to Jesus, desiring the same forgiveness, the same restoration that Peter longed for? And what does Jesus do? He prepares a meal and he invites him for breakfast. Jesus is intentional when it comes to wanting to restore relationship with Peter. He's intentional with us wanting to restore relationship with us. This next moment, Peter accepts that invitation to sit and fellowship with Jesus. Here he is face to face with Jesus that just days before he turned his back on him and is being invited to eat with him. I was in a tournament in Brooks. And so we're in a hotel room and I made a huge oops and blunder. Something very easily to get me kicked off the team. After we're dropped off at the school, my coach says, "Stephen," he says, "I'd like to have a meeting with you." And I knew I was in for it. He says, "But let's meet at McDonald's," because of course Tim Hortons was as popular back in my day. And so we went to McDonald's for breakfast that morning. And in my head, I was confused. One, I held dear and just the utmost respect for this, for my phys ed teacher, for my coach. He was a mentor to me. And I could not believe at what I had done. I had failed him as one of the leaders on the team. I was ashamed at what I had done. And here he is inviting me out for breakfast. So I accepted. See, back in the moment when I had cheated on that exam and I had lied before my history teacher, I couldn't eat my breakfast, or pardon me, my lunch. And so as I walked into that McDonald's, I wasn't feeling really hungry. I don't even think I could have eaten a bite. That I was about to now face the very person that I had failed. He sits me down and we have a meal together. And he speaks to me and talks to me and restores me and forgives me for my failure. In our failures, will we come and will we accept that invitation to sit and fellowship with Jesus? Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Will you come and meet with him face to face and find rest? After they ate, Jesus turns and speaks to Peter. Peter didn't change the subject. He didn't ask Jesus, "So, what have you been up to the last 2 weeks?" Peter teaches us in this moment to listen and to respond. Jesus invites us to fellowship with him, but will we be open to have our ears and our hearts listen to what he wants to say? Jesus turns to Peter and asks him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And just the frustration, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Each answer is the same. "You know it, Lord. You know it. You know I love you." That last question hits Peter hard. It digs deep. Peter's hurt. He's saying, "I don't feel it right now, but you know it, Lord. Lord, please help me overcome my failures and my sin." Jesus tenderly reaches out to Peter. He's wounded. He's hurt. He's afraid. Peter has gone through the worst 2 weeks, the most devastating time of his life. Peter made the biggest blunder that he could ever make. And now he's face to face with the person that he offended. The one he denied, the one that he rejected. Peter couldn't even talk. When I was sitting at that breakfast table in McDonald's, I had my head down. I couldn't even speak. I didn't even know what to say. But the coach had come to me, just as Jesus came to Peter. We're no different. When life's biggest mistakes occur, we find it impossible to go to Jesus. We're ashamed. We're more likely to hide. We tuck it away down deep inside so no one can find it and no one can see it. But again, Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's hard to do that. It takes a great deal of humility and courage to go to someone and to share your brokenness, to be forgiven. But it's the way back to Christ, the way to forgiveness and being restored. After I'd had that conversation with my history teacher, he said, "Hey, Steve," he says, "just so you know," he says, "my door's always open." I wonder what he meant. It's a difficult journey, but when done, it builds us up and it restores us. Have you ever experienced this one, where it's powerfully and wonderfully amazing when you've been restored? I had a choice to either catch the bus at 3:30 or to run 10 kilometers home and meet with my history teacher. I went to Crescent Heights High School and I lived in Marlboro. I walked into my history teacher's class and sat down. The shame, the disgust that I felt. He already knew. Because he knew that the 85 didn't match Stephen's average. He knew how I did on exams. And I spoke the words. I said, "I cheated." He says, "I know." Now, this teacher could have easily given me a zero. Jesus can easily give us a zero. But he didn't. He hands me my exam and he says, "I've marked the ones wrong that I know that you probably would have got wrong." And he passed me with a 65. He didn't need to do that. Jesus doesn't need to, but he wants to, because he loves you. He loves us. Are we getting it? Powerfully and wonderfully, he wants to restore us. If Peter was to grow and become the rock that Jesus wanted him to be, Jesus had to recommission him. He had to call him again, just like he's calling us again. You will fail this week. You will sin. And Jesus is saying, "I will again restore you." Jesus is here to heal you and I, to restore us, to renew us, and to forgive us, to be who he's called us to be. Tyler has been talking about discipleship and being a disciple over the last 3 weeks, and this flows right into the very message, is that Peter was a disciple of Christ, and Peter turned his back on Jesus, the one who was to be the rock. And Jesus restores him. Just how Jesus restores us. Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my sheep. Care for my sheep." There's a purpose that is there that Tyler preached on. The reason why Jesus restores us is because there's a purpose. Jesus asked Peter if he loves him. He asks us that same very question. Do you love him? Peter genuinely replies 3 times, "Yes, you know that I love you." When Peter found out Jesus was there, he wanted to go and meet with him. But he didn't just walk. He rushed to Jesus, knowing that he could be restored, be forgiven, and offered that grace that we don't deserve. He leaped into the water and swam 100 yards so that he can be restored into a relationship with Jesus. I don't think it mattered to him to be the guy anymore. Jesus wanted to be just back into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Peter's sin needed to be blotted out. And if it wasn't for that example of Peter's and many others' sin being blotted out in Scripture, it would cancel out the message of grace. We need to hear this story of grace in Peter's story, because it's our story. We need to see and hear that as Peter went to Jesus, he was restored to be a new man. Many of you have been restored to be a new man or woman in Christ. We too need to know that same story will make us new. You might be in a position that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is the message that Jesus is trying to get across. I can make you new. I don't want to reject you. I want to invite you. We need to do as Peter did. We must not look to find it within ourselves and to find it with our own strength and make our own changes within. We are not self-help. We cannot do it alone. We have to humble ourselves before Christ. We have to look for Christ to be restored, for help and direction. So what does Peter's life and actions say to us? Jesus went out to find Peter again. He went to restore this fallen man, to renew him and to forgive him. God's grace flowed abundantly on the seaside. Peter is you and Peter is me. This is the only turning point where we look at actually the denial of Peter. That Peter's denial cannot happen again. However, we will continue to deny Christ again and again. But our only way back is through God's grace that flows out to each one of us abundantly, to all who believe. But there's a little bit of a twist here in Peter's story. It's not actually about Peter's story. It's not about Peter. It's about Jesus. It's about his love, his grace that restores us. Christ came into the world, emptied himself, and became nothing, taking on the very life and nature of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, and death on the cross. He did that for Peter. He did that for you and for me. Each of us will continue to stumble and fall, just like Peter. Peter's story continues on after being restored. His big mouth gets him in trouble, and his actions still get him in trouble. But Jesus came looking for Peter. inviting him to fellowship and to restore him into relationship with him and for him. For a purpose of being a disciple, but also to be a child of God. I'd like to invite the band up at this time. We have, or we will get stuck in a hole and we can't get out. Or maybe we don't even want to get out. We kind of like where we're in, this little rut of ours, because we have control. Jesus is reaching out to us. He's telling us something. He's moving our hearts or in our minds and saying, there's something that you need to get right with me. He wants to pick us up, to clean us, to empower us, to tell us to follow him. I heard a song on the way to church this morning by the band Unspoken, and it was called Recovery. It says, "You're my recovery, changing who I was to whom I'm meant to be. Heal all that is broken as you wash me clean. Oh, you set me free. You are my recovery." Each of us has fallen. Each of us need to be forgiven by Jesus. And here this morning, God's given you an opportunity, just like Peter, to come, to sit with him and to listen and meet him here, because he's here. For you to be forgiven and to be restored. He loves you, and he's calling out to you. It's time to stop living this life of impartiality. A full life in sin, or even a partial life in sin. Will you get out of the boat? Will you rush to him this morning? Yes, there's the door, and you can walk out. And nothing will change. But you have this very moment right now to come to Christ broken, ashamed, and be renewed and restored. There's people right beside you that you can share and pray with this morning. We have elders here this morning that you can come and talk with. But just so you know, the person right beside you, they're just as broken as you are. Maybe not now, but they were last week. Will you get out of the boat? He's asking you, do you love me? What's your answer? I want you to quietly bow your heads. This is a moment for you and Christ to be together and to listen to his voice, a voice of grace offering forgiveness for you to be restored, for God to restore your soul. God, I ask that you would remove any roadblocks, any hindrances, Father, that Satan is put before us to not hear your voice. Lord, You've brought a message to us this morning to reveal things in our lives that we need to bring to you. To ask for forgiveness for. Father, it's embarrassing to come and admit these things before you, knowing that we'd failed you. But God, I'm thankful for your grace, and I thank you for your love. That you'd be willing to forgive us and restore us. God, there's some of us here this morning that have truly been fighting having you Lord in our lives. Father, I ask that you'd reach into the hearts and allow them to take a step forward and come and to be forgiven as a sinner and to be welcomed into fellowship, to be restored as a new man or a new woman for a purpose that is so powerful and wonderfully made. God, we offer these things up to you. We praise you and give you thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.